Welcome to the podcast version of Taproot TV, where weekly we share with you information for root cause analysis to analyze and fix the real root causes of problems at your company. Working together, we are all changing the way the world solves problems. So let's get straight to this week's episode. Stopping human error, is it even a possibility? I don't know. Mark Paradise and I've actually been talking about it for about 30 minutes now. And we've decided the world would be a more boring place without human error.
More boring place. We need human errors. It keeps us in business. That way we have lots of root cause analysis to do.
But
end of story.
That's not our goal.
No.
No. Our goal is to see what we can do to stop human error.
Yes.
And we had a great conversation about that the other day. You were talking about, you know, how focusing can really on certain things versus the overall stopping human error. Tell me something about that.
All right. So what we talked about the other day is you really don't have to stop all human errors to make performance acceptable on the job.
Right.
Because you probably never stop all human errors. But what you want to do is you want to stop the errors that are going to cause major accidents, injuries, huge quality problems, equipment failures, things you want to avoid. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about balancing a checkbook. We'll probably never get anybody to balance a checkbook better than the bank does.
Right.
So some things you ought to just say, hey, the automated system works. Let's let it do its job. We shouldn't try to substitute a human in where they don't do very good work. On the other hand, I think we talked about automation, and automation doesn't solve all problems.
No.
So you probably do still need a human in the system. So then you get to the difficult problem of, well, what should the human be doing, and what should automation or the equipment be doing, and that's a difficult conversation.
They can make a good team though.
Yes, they well they can if you have a good design.
Yes, but that's kind of where, you know, we talk about when we were talking about automation a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
you know, it helps with when people have to focus on something for a very long time, or their inability to do that because people become complacent and they're not able to stay focused on a task long enough.
So a lot of times people want the humans to be inhuman.
Mm-hmm.
They want the humans to do things they can't do.
Right.
Like they'd say, if that guy just would have paid attention, that wouldn't happen. Well, how long can you pay attention?
Mm-hmm.
How long can you be careful? How long can you have a questioning attitude? You know, all those things they say, oh, you ought to do that, is fine for about 5 minutes.
Yes.
And then humans get distracted. Mm-hmm. They lose interest. Some other important thing comes up. They have competing priorities. And, well, afterwards you can always say, oh, that should have been your priority, not that.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, yeah, afterwards, hindsight's 20/20, and you're right. I should have been watching that gauge. Or I should have been paying attention to that conversation.
Right.
Or I should have been more careful and paying attention to my work and not paying attention to that conversation. So afterwards, it's always obvious what we should have done. Well, but usually it's obvious. But for the human to self-monitor their own performance and self-check what they're doing in real time,
mm-hmm,
is not a reasonable thing for a human to do.
No. And especially as we get older, too. It gets a little more difficult, you know.
We don't want to talk about getting older.
But that's where multiple safeguards can come into play, trying to set your systems up.
Yeah, so what you're trying to do is you're trying to look at all the human safeguards in the system and other safeguards, and you're trying to have not just one safeguard between you and disaster.
Right.
You're trying to have multiple safeguards. You're trying to have multiple things that keep the system, mm-hmm, working right. And if you do that, you've got multiple chances to stop that failure from progressing. But you're also trying to do is to get human performance as good as it can be. So the first part of that is giving them jobs they can do.
Right.
And then implementing best practices to make them be as reliable as possible. So, you know, we talk about reliability numbers in humans. Maybe you make one mistake in 100 times you do something. Well, we can raise that through best practices to be one mistake in 10,000 times you do something. And if you do that and you have redundant safeguards, And, you know, you get about three or four redundant safeguards like that put in place, not one dependent on the other, but actually redundant. You then have a really, really low odds of having the accident happen.
Right.
So that's the key. The key is knowing what are those best practices, what are the ones that work, what are the ones that are trying to make the human do things they're not good at doing. Because, you know, self-monitoring your own performance and saying, oh, you've got to catch when you're becoming, oh, I don't know, which one do they talk about? You got to catch when you're in doubt. Mm-hmm. When you're doing this work and you're supposed to monitor yourself to catch that signal of, oh, I was in doubt then.
Right.
Well, that's really tough to do because you didn't seem like you were in doubt until after the accident happened. After the accident happened, oh, they should have caught that. They should have known that they were had some things that weren't right. Well, maybe you catch it, maybe you don't.
Right.
Humans aren't really good at it. If your only safeguard is you figure out when you're in doubt and then do something different, that's a pretty weak safeguard. Well, that isn't one in 10,000.
Well, we're trying to analyze our thoughts on a continual basis at that point, and they are kind of out of our control.
Well, and the other thing they say is, well, being distracted or trying to do two simultaneous mm-hmm. tasks raises your error likelihood. Well, if you're trying to self-monitor yourself, mm-hmm. you are actually have one task plus whatever you're doing. That's two.
Yeah.
And then if somebody's trying to talk to you at the same time, now we're up to three. Pretty soon, we're not doing good on any of the tasks we're doing.
So that's why it's important to get those systems in place. Because I love
you. And to know what systems you want in place.
Yes, the right ones. Because the other day you mentioned that there's a philosophy of changing your systems or changing your people. And if you don't change the systems, you're going to be constantly changing the people. Because they're going to be always making errors.
And the really important part is it's really hard to change people. People just say, well, I'll tell them to try harder. That doesn't do it.
No.
Now, trying harder is not a strategy for long-term success.
No. And it's frustrating for the person. They don't do it on purpose.
Well, actually, a lot of times, the first thing they'll say is, well, I'm not going to make that mistake mm-hmm. again. I'm going to try harder next time. I'm going to be more careful. I'm going to do that. And you know what? They might for a period
of time.
But they aren't the only person who's working there. And over time, they will go back to their old habits, and then they will make a mistake again. I saw somebody the other day say, well, these accidents, it's probably a remote chance that they'll ever happen again. Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually not. We have a lot of things, a lot of precursor accidents that happen over and over and over and over again. It's just they don't become a big accident because there's so many safeguards and so many different things going on that it may not become a big accident. But the precursors are happening over and over and over again. You just don't know when everything's going to come together to cause all your safeguards to fail.
There are so many human performance tools and things out there for people to learn to try to help stop human error. And you teach people about all those.
We teach people about all of them.
Yeah.
We tell you the pros and the cons and then let you choose which ones with the knowledge of what works and what has human factors research behind it and what actually has human factors research that says it doesn't work. We give you that knowledge and then you can decide what's going to go into my program, what's going to make it work in my facility, because most people don't know that kind of thing. They really, you know, they say if some expert tells them you ought to have a questioning attitude, I hate to say that, I do that one way too much, but it's one of my favorite ones that don't work. I mean, it works. You should have a questioning attitude, right? It is good to question things, but it's not a very good stopping human error best practice.
Yeah.
And so.
And it can kind of drive you a little, you can get to where you question, over question things.
Well, maybe.
I do.
Okay. It's a possibility.
I do it.
It's a possibility. I don't know. The hard part of all this is you don't want to do... Okay, here's another one. There are probably 20, 30 techniques you could mm-hmm. use. Well, that's another problem. 20 or 30 techniques is way too many to remember and use constantly. So you really need to narrow it down to the ones that you think are the most important. Mm-hmm. Not 30. That's too many.
You do a really great job in the course of talking about the pros and cons of all of those techniques.
Yeah, Ben and I just sit around. She went to the course and then we just sit around and talk about human error. That's what we do.
But it is a great tool in that course, doing that pros and cons.
Yes.
And, because you can really kind of, and you kind of go through some examples.
And there's none that are 100% effective. Yeah. There's none that are 100% garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some that are way better than others. And there's some that are only marginally effective, if that.
I thought it was interesting in the course listening to some of the attendees talk about their experiences with some of those.
Yeah.
And people had really different views on a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And some of them are just so seductive.
Yeah.
It just, oh, I wish that would work.
Right.
For instance, a question he had, we'll just keep going back to that one since I'm stuck on it today. But the idea of if somebody could just say, you know, I don't think that's going to work, or I think we're off the track today, or why did you say that, or what's your reasoning behind having us do it that way, or we've always done it this way, but maybe today we should do it a different way. That questioning attitude kind of thing, it sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can make up a list of all the times you ought to apply it, and you think, oh, that's a great list. But when you look at the whole list in its total form, you say, hey, listen, this is life.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying is we always ought to be questioning. We always ought to be doing this, because if I go through this list, everything we, you know, unless I'm just sitting, not doing anything.
Not doing anything, I was going to say.
And that is one solution to human error.
Yes.
Sit and do nothing.
Do nothing.
And in fact, there's a joke about that in the control room of the future. There'll be a man and a dog, and the dog is there to make sure the man doesn't touch anything, and the man is there to feed the dog.
Well, there you go. It looks like a perfect system.
Yeah, the perfect system.
Yeah, exactly.
Just don't touch anything.
Well, it's one of the reasons we're talking about this today is because we want you to know about the tools that we have together. He's got a new book that's a fantastic book on
right,
stopping human error.
Back in March, we started off with the book and the course.
Yeah. And we have a course coming up as well in September, the 15th and 16th. It's going to be here in Knoxville. And I just have to tell you, you want to come to it because it is a very engaging course. You come away with so much knowledge on the human performance tools and to be able to judge what you want to do when you get back to your company. And also how Taproot can help you work with those tools. So, you know, because we can all work together in all this,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Isn't that the goal? Yes, it
and
is.
Do something, not nothing.
Exactly. Well, if you want more information about how to stop human error, you can go to our website at taproot.com. You can contact us at info@taproot.com. We want you to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Let us know in comments, what is your favorite human performance tool? We would love to know that. That can be some really good conversation. So feel free to let us know. And also, subscribe to our channel. Ring the bell to get
click
notifications.
The like
click the like button if you liked it. Surely they did.
Surely they did. We had a lot of fun doing it.
We did. We always have a good time. But go to our website, sign up for our newsletter so you can find out about everything we have coming up. And thank you for joining us. And thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Bennett.
We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. To view the video version of this episode, visit our YouTube channel or our Facebook page. Please visit us on our website at taproot.com for up-to-date information and blog articles designed to help you excel in your performance improvement program. And please sign up for our newsletter so you'll get the notifications of when new information is released, where we're teaching around the world and all things Taproot. We will see you next time on our podcast version of Taproot TV.